It is Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today, presented to you by our friends over at Factor. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan along for the ride as well. A lot to get to on a hump day. And we will start with a personal tip of the cap, because my career as a competitive parent ended yesterday when the Brentwood Eagles lost in the playoffs to Village Christian. Can you believe that? That's like that's the beginning and the end of the baseball run with a young little Brady Rose.
I just, you know, I said this on your IG last night. I love that you're such a good dad. You are an influence for me. I do like to surround myself with friends that are good husbands, good fathers, and you're both. So I don't know. Like, I'm sad for you for sure. Like, I can't even imagine this happening, but I also want to congratulate you on raising two good sons, beautiful sons. And everything you've done, man, you really are a mentor and an inspiration for me. So
I appreciate.
Usually I make fun of you, but today I can't, dude.
Yeah, it was weird yesterday. Like, he didn't start the game because he was the first guy out of the pen. And so when he walked off the mound, and I knew that he couldn't re-enter, I was like, wow, that's really it. And I remember he got an at bat, and he actually got a hit in his last at bat. I told Michelle because he was leading off an inning. I said, hey, take a mental snapshot of this, because it's probably the last one you're going to see here unless he mows through a couple of innings and gets another at bat. So, you know, I did that throughout the day. It was very strange the last few days, knowing that any one of these playoff games could be it for him and for us. And all I tell parents is, like, they get so worried when their kids are up at bat or on the mound or whatever sport they're playing. They're like, oh, I get so nervous. Don't get nervous is what I tell you, because at some point it's going to end. So, like, the failures are just as important as the successes when your kids are growing up. I really believe that, particularly in this sport.
Yeah,
where there's way more failure than there is success. And so teaching them that it's okay to not be your best every day and learning how to deal with that is the most important thing, I think. And so I'm going to miss all those times where he booted a ground ball or went 0-for-4 or gave up a ball to the wall or whatever, so that he could learn from it. Like, sucks when you're going through it, but it's okay to have that too, because that's life. Life is not a linear line at all.
I firmly believe your true character comes out when you struggle. And baseball, man, I mean, I've already seen it with Teddy at 8 years old. Like, he used to get so upset getting out, and I've had to tell him, hey, if you want to play this sport and if you want to live life, like, you're going to have to deal with failure. And the way you're dealing with it right now isn't the correct way to deal with it. Here's the correct way to deal with it. And, I mean, there's so many life lessons and sports, team sports, but baseball also specifically. I don't know, man. You got me in my feelings right now.
Yeah, well, that's okay, though.
Michelle okay?
Yeah, she woke up in the middle of the night and said she was emotional. So I was like, you want to do anything about it? She's like, no, not that. So
all right,
we're back. No, but it was nice. Brady and I had a nice ride home. And I want to thank Josh, too. Josh provided us with plenty of moments as our first son with really, really cool stuff. So not going to forget about him. Let's get it going. St. Louis Cardinals. Holy smokes. I'm wearing a hat today to try and give you some good mojo here. Y'all need it, because your best player is going to be on the shelf for the next 6 to 8 weeks. Wilson Contreras is going to have surgery on his broken left forearm, which happened yesterday. JD Martinez swinging through a pitch, cracked him right on the meat of that left arm. Let's start with this. The Cardinals had apparently asked him to move up to go steal lower strikes, and they're not the only team that's doing this. There are a lot of teams that are pushing for this. You, as a guy who played Major League Baseball for nearly a decade, do you see something wrong with what's going on here with what we're teaching catchers?
Yeah, I mean, I do, because you are putting catchers at risk. You know, the catcher's interference call is up a bunch this year. There's been a lot of them, and typically, you know, you're going to hit a sliver of glove and it's going to be the end of it, so it's not going to hurt, but, like, that's dangerously close to your hands and your wrist, and, like we saw last night, your forearm. Like, you're asking catchers to do it to get you some strikes, and you know there's risk. I just don't know if the risk is worth the reward. Clearly, they've decided that it is worth the reward because everybody is doing it. Even Ollie Marmol after the game last night said, you know, the closer they're able to get to the hitter to get that low pitch, it's definitely a topic of conversation. The risk is high, and we just experienced it. Like, I don't think putting your players in harm's way is ever worth the risk. How about your pitchers just throw a better strike? Do you know what I mean? Or umpires call it correctly. Like, we're so into this thing about, you know, stealing strikes and framing and doing all this. Like, and I understand it. Like, you're trying to, you know, get victories within the margins. You're trying to figure things out, be better than that team by whatever you can do to be better. But, you know, I don't think this particularly is worth it. And we just did Talking Baseball, and Jimmy had pictures of Contreras, I believe it was last year, compared to this year. And he's up, like, no joke. It looks like his glove is up 3 feet. Like, he's, when you look at the side angle of that picture, when it's JD, who's, you know, one of the guys that's notoriously known to be way back in the box, almost out of the box, and then Wilson is up there about as close as it can get. I mean, it was a recipe for disaster, and it was a disaster.
And it's truly a disaster for the Cardinals. I can't comment much on the strategy of this. I mean, this is your world, so I'm going to let you live there. I've wanted to do a topic on the Cardinals for weeks because they just – it feels off. It feels off. And when they extended Ollie Marmol, which was a topic we discussed extensively in the offseason, because what it meant was, okay, we're back in our young manager, even though it's been a couple of mediocre years, really. There's something wrong with this team. And Paul Goldschmidt has never looked worse. I cannot believe we're seeing some of the swings we are, particularly on balls that are so far out of the strike zone. I mean, I'm sure you've been there where you're just pressing and pressing, but you never expect it out of a former MVP who has been, not to be punny here or anything, but like the gold standard at his position.
Yeah, I want to believe in the Cardinals. I believe in them last year. It didn't happen. I believe them this year. I think I picked them to win the NL Central. It doesn't look like that's going to happen, especially when you lose Contreras for 6 to 8 weeks. You're going to dig they already have dug themselves a hole. It looks like it's going to be even deeper. And then you're right. Goldschmidt, I believe, is like in an 0-for-20 something stretch right now. He just doesn't look right. And I don't know if that's necessarily the Cardinals' fault or anything. I know he tried to go to Driveline this offseason, tried to increase his bat speed. And you know what? That works for a lot of hitters. And sometimes when you're a guy like Goldschmidt, you know, an old dog trying to learn new tricks, it can get you away from, you know, what you've been doing for, you know, decades, essentially. So I'm not going to blame the Cardinals for Goldschmidt's slow start. I'm not going to do that, but I do believe that they are facing now, like, they're going to be in decision time soon, whether they want to keep some of these guys or try to get something for a Goldschmidt. I know Arenado's locked up for the next couple of years, 3 years, I believe, through 2027. I believe he's probably on the table as well. And if they're looking at, like, hey man, we're not sure how this thing is going to go next year or the year after, or maybe we have some guys that, you know, we think we could fill in for some of these older veterans, then maybe we do see some trades here shortly.
It's interesting also that their two best outfielders that they had in their system within the last year are now doing it in Boston and Tampa Bay, where Richie Palacios has been great for the Rays, and Tyler O'Neill has been phenomenal for the Red Sox. And, man, it just feels like for so long we always talk about the Cardinal way, and I think part of the Cardinal way was being consistent with their decisions and being firm and having a direction. And it feels like they're literally all over the place.
They have a young group of position players, you know, but also, you know, Goldie and Arenado there, but like their pitching staff is a little bit older. So they're in like this weird state where they don't necessarily have a young roster. They don't necessarily have like an aging roster. I guess I would lean more towards the older roster, but they're in a interesting spot here because it doesn't seem like they're all in. And it doesn't seem like they're ready to have some sort of retool or rebuild either. So they're caught in the middle, and that's just not where you want to be as a franchise.
And just to let you know, Paul Goldschmidt was not in the starting lineup for Wednesday's game. Much better night for the top two teams in the Cardinals division there in the National League Central, as we had some magic happening in the ninth inning, both on the north side and with the Brewers in Kansas City.
Drilled in the air, right field, Bush has walked it off. Fly ball, left field, it is back, it is gone! A three-run go-ahead home run for Willie Adames. What a shot in the arm for the Brew Crew.
You know, we were talking the whole game. They were talking. They were being friendly, and you know, I was just having a good time with them. And they were like, "Oh, we want Willie." And I went close to them. And I was like, "Are you sure you want me?" And they were like, "Yeah, we want you to hit a three-run homer." And I was like, "I bet. Let me do it. If Gary take a wall, I'm going." And then I hit it, and I was like, "Oh my God, that was the coolest thing I ever done. Like I ever experienced in my life." And you know, we had a good time. Then I signed a couple balls for them, and you know, we had a great time.
That's Willie Adames talking about going back and forth with the Kansas City fans, whom he said were great the whole time. He said sometimes he can get a little contentious with some fans. He said not here. We were having a great time, and he ended up winning the game for the visiting team. That's some cool shit, Ploof, when that happens.
That's like the best of sports right there. And like you go and like you have guys that are going to, you know, talk smack to you, but if they do it in a polite way and they're just kind of egging you, like that's so fun. And then on the player side, if you're Willie and you kind of give it back to him a little bit and you give him a wink or whatever, and then all of a sudden you do something, the way they reacted, it was like they were a fan. Right. They were fans of the Brewers. It was really funny. That's just an all around fun interaction right there.
All right. So my question here is, are you comfortable saying at this point of the year that it is going to be a two team race in the Central or not?
So I came prepared, fully prepared to say absolutely not. I think that the Reds are still going to be there. Have you seen, like, they're starting pitching, is starting to pick it up? That's what we've always talked about with the Reds. Like, hey, man, if their starters could just figure it out and go on a run, this team could really do it. Because in my mind, Chris, offensively, this team could really, really go. So I think back to last year, right? Like, they went on that big run. Do you know where they ranked last year offensively?
I mean, they had to be top 7 or 8.
2023 team hitting. Let me get it up again. I just lost it. Shoot. 2023 team hitting. Okay, I had it wrong. Let me change everything right here. I thought I had it up because in my mind, I was like, yeah, same as you, like top 10. They actually were 10th overall in OPS last year. 2024 has not been that way. So I'm going to go back to my original thought on this. I think that we have a team that can do it offensively. They play in the right ballpark. They have I like the makeup of their roster. I don't think it's, you know, one-sided, or I don't think it's just power and nothing else. Like, I think they can do a lot of different things offensively. It hasn't been that way this year. This year, they're ranked like 22nd or something like that in OPS. Like, so I think there's room for them to get better, and the pitching staff has finally come along. They can make some adjustments to the bullpen, whether that means they can go and get somebody at the deadline or just, you know, somebody performs better. I think the Reds are still going to be in it. I was about to say no, because what's this offense done last year? Totally messed that one up. But yes, I'm going to say it right now. I do not think it's two teams. I think the Reds still have a chance to get back in the mix. The Cardinals and Pirates, I think I'm kind of out on. Like, the Cardinals, I still would have been in on if this Contreras injury didn't happen. So, you know, you lose your best player, your best offensive player by far. They just doesn't seem to me like they're going to be hanging around. So I'll say this is a three-team race, not a two-team race.
Yeah, but Reds, let's start picking it up. I have you winning the division. I'm not going to quit you just yet, but I have been rather disappointed. Some people say, well, look, they're without essentially three of their guys they had penciled into the lineup, between McClain, who we think will be back in August, although we're not totally sure. TJ Friedl finally came back last night, and he is much more than just an emotional spark plug. Like, he's a very good baseball player. And then, you know, Noelvi is still missing half the season, so we'll see in July.
But they've position player depth has been their calling card. Absolutely. Like, they're not struggling for position players right now.
And that's
guys
my
just
point.
Need to step it up. Yeah,
that's my point, is that you just can't rely on Ellie De La Cruz and Spencer Steer to be the guys carrying it. Stevenson has had a nice year, but they just need more production. That team is good enough to be playing better than where they are, particularly with the pitch. Like, Hunter Green has now become the guy who pitches and doesn't get any support. We know there's always a handful of dudes every year. He's wearing that albatross right now. So I'm not going to say that they're done. But here's what I mean.
Is this a three-team? Are you including the Pirates or Cardinals in this at all?
No, they're done. Pirates will be interesting to watch whenever Skeens gets up here. And Jones, I mean, that is going to be as explosive a 1-2 combination as we got in the sport. I'm out on the Cardinals. I think I'll be watching them more to see what they try to do in July. Unless they can't get better pitching than the guys really they've brought in this year. Sonny Gray has been ridiculous. Kyle Gibson has been really good. Lance Lynn has, been fine. Like,
they're in a very weird state.
Yeah.
The Reds, if you're wondering, 24-year-old Hunter Green has a 3-1. 25-year-old Andrew Abbott has a 3-3. 26-year-old Graham Ashcraft has a 3-6. 26-year-old Nick Lodolo has a 2-7. They signed Frankie Montas. He has a 3-5. I mean, like, the starting pitching has showed up for them.
Right. If you told me those numbers, I would be like, boy, the Reds are what, 10 games over 500? Instead, they've got a losing record. One other thing in the Central before we move on. I know we've talked a lot of Shota lately. He's become one of my favorite dudes, not only because he's so good, but look at the emotion that he has when he's getting big strikeouts like last night against the Padres. That shit is just, I'm on board.
And Chicago specifically, the north side here at Wrigleyville, this is the perfect spot for him, man. He is living it up there.
That's awesome. Good for him. He's become a fun watch and almost a can't miss sort of start every 5 days.
And you know what? Like, I have picked him as my NL Rookie of the Year, which is great. But then, there's a lot of really good rookies in the NL, man. It's going to be very interesting to see.
All right. Well, warmer, sunnier days are calling. What does that mean? You got to fill up your belly. You got to fuel up. And Factor's no prep, no mess meals are the perfect answer. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart and Protein Plus and Keto. They are fresh, never frozen meals. They are dietitian approved, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, all you got to do, take a fork, stick it in there, put it into the microwave for 2 minutes and 2 seconds, because I'm a little weird that way, and you're going to have the best tasting meal. They got 35 different meals to choose from and more than 60 add-ons each and every week, so you have new flavors to explore. Make your day delicious. From breakfast all the way to dessert, you will stay fueled. They got everything that you need, and I love it, particularly for the middle of the day. I've told you this, and sometimes when my Factor isn't here, I open the fridge, and I'm looking, I'm going, oh, we got nothing to eat. So I go right into the pantry, start eating crap I should not be putting in my body. When Factor's here, I've got a perfect meal for the middle of the day. I feel fully satisfied all the way until dinner. So head on over to factormeals.com/baseball50. Use that code. You're going to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. That is the code baseball50 at factormeals.com/baseball50. Once again, half off your first box, 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. And don't forget, we always have our Factor question of the week. Get that in by Thursday night. We can use yours on Friday's show. We'll tell the world just how smart or how funny you are. Get creative with your question. Please, we need help here on Baseball Today. All right, Washington takes the Beltway Series opener, a 3-0 win over the Baltimore Orioles. So that means the Nats are over 500 for the first time since July of 2021. Does that do anything for you?
It does do something for me, Chris, because prior to this season, what I would have said is, and I'm sure we probably did say this, hey, man, like, if Jesse Winker goes off and has a nice start to the season, hey, that's trade bait and let's go get something for him. Or, hey, I don't know if anybody saw Trevor Williams being this good through 7 starts, but hey, he's a free agent after the year, so let's go get something for him. And we're continuing this, rebuild, and, we're going to get there soon. But when you're over 500 and you have some of your young guys performing the way they have, I'm now thinking, if I was running this team, I'm not trading anybody. And it's not because I think that we're going to win the World Series or even make the playoffs. Like, but I want this team to be in contention. I want this young core group of players to feel that pressure to have to play in meaningful games in August and September and maybe even in October. But like, really, just I want them to be in the race. So now, to me, Jesse Winker, what's he going to fetch you on the trade market? I don't know. Probably not much for a half year's rental. Like, you might get a low level prospect or something like that. But to me, it makes more sense for them to keep all these guys. Hopefully they continue to play well, so we are in contention, because I believe that experience of playing in meaningful games will only help them. I mean, they have a really nice young core here. I mean, they have Cruz and Wood, who are like two of the top four prospects in the game. You know, they're on the cusp, and like, they're going to have these guys, and they're going to be, you know, a team that's going to be in contention in a couple years. But these games that you can play at the major league level are just invaluable. You can't teach it. You can't recreate it. You can't practice it. You have to be in them to get this sort of experience. So that's what's changed for me with the Nationals. Now I'm not saying, hey, go get whatever you can for these guys that are going to be free agents. It's more like, let's keep these guys and let's try to be in this race so we can get experience for our young guys. That's where I'm at.
You nailed it. You nailed it. I want to see them continue to at least be 500, really, until the summer months. You know, if they falter down the stretch, whatever, chalk it up to a learning experience. I would say this. We've talked a little bit about C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore in particular, because we broke down the Soto trade a few years later last week. But now, I mean, I'm kind of focused on the middle infield between C.J. Abrams and Luis Garcia. Like, it's probably the least talked about, most exciting kind of up-and-coming group. Like, those two guys together at the top of the lineup, that's nice building blocks. And then you talked about the other two guys that are ready to make it to the show, you know, very soon. Like, things are turning for the Washington Nationals.
Exactly. Like, it's well, we'll see if it happens. You know, these guys are supposed to be good. You have to see them at the big league level. But they think their window's in a couple years. I just think that you have to play as many of these games, high stress, you know, games as possible. And that just is, it's just, it calcifies you. Is that a word?
Yes, it is a word. Calcify would, I would assume, make your bones stronger. So sure, why not? We'll go with it. I'm sure somebody,
I was saying calluses.
Well, that would make your skin tougher.
Yeah, that's what I want. Tough skin.
Okay. Thick skin.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I'm saying, guys.
Do you have calluses on your hands? Because I get told, wait, yeah, you've always been a hardworking person. I only have one callus on my hands. Do you want to know where it is? It's right here under my wedding ring.
Oh, okay.
That's the only place that it's toughened up. Because I'm kind of a wuss. So.
I am, in my mind, unless you're like a surgeon, like, you better have some calluses on your hands. Like, that's what a man has calluses on. Like, that's how I grew up. Looking at my dad's freaking hands and his forearms, I'm like, that's a man's hands. Now I do kettlebell stuff, so I'm still very calloused. And I just, for me, that's a manly thing.
Sure.
Well, if you're not a hand model or a surgeon.
Yeah, kettlebells are not gender specific.
No, calluses.
Okay.
And calluses aren't gender specific. You have calluses if you want, ladies. I'm just saying, in my mind, I'm a man.
Phillies continue to cruise. They whooped up on Toronto in the first of a quick two-game set on Tuesday night. Bryce Harper, another homer. This one, a grand slam. Jays, last place in the American League East. They are 4 under .500. Does it feel like change is coming north of the border?
I want it to come, Chris. But I don't think they're ready to give up on this window. Like, they... I mean, and really, like, if they decide to, you know, get away from who? Like, Vladdy or Bichette or whatever. Like, you know, if they decide to move on from these guys, I feel like that signals, like, hey, like, we got to figure something out. Like, and I'm not going to put them in the same boat as the Cardinals, but it's kind of is Cardinals-esque. I mean, they have pitching locked up. It is. How is it not?
because I think that this was a team that thought they could win the World Series this year.
I think the Cardinals thought the same thing.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think so. But okay.
You bring in the guy that was second in the Cy Young to lead your rotation, and you bring in some other veteran starters as well. Like you trade and have Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. Like what signal did they send that they weren't competing for the World Series, the Cardinals?
The bad year last year? Yeah, that they were coming off their worst season in not just a bad year, their worst season in three decades.
I think that they thought that was just a one-off anomaly.
Possibly. I think I will say this about the Toronto Blue Jays, not to cut you off, but I do think that they're the biggest shock in the wrong direction this year, even more so than Houston, because at least Houston, I can look and say, my God, they've got an entire rotation on the injured list. You know, I know it's been much more than that, but that's where you could start with Houston. With Toronto, guys, what are we doing? I picked you to make the World Series. Maybe you will. Maybe you'll be like the Washington team from 2019. Remember when they were horrible, like through 60 games or 70 games or whatever it was, and then they cranked it up and they ended up making the run? That's possible what could happen with Toronto, but I don't know. I don't have an answer. I was on a Toronto radio station yesterday. They were like, well, Chris, what do you think's wrong with them? Because we don't have any answers up here. I was like, I don't know. Other than their bullpen really sucks.
I mean, they're at a crux, man. I think the teams that we're talking about today mostly are just at these decision-making times. And, you know, the Cardinals, if you go past last year, I mean, they're a 90-win team every single year. So, like, that's why I say that they still believe in themselves, because it was just one year. Yeah, a horrible year. But, you know, they added, and I firmly believe they thought they were playoff bound this year. And I don't think they think that anymore, especially with Contreras gone. The Jays, yeah, I mean, are changes coming? I don't think so. I still think they're going to try to compete with this roster. I think they built a really nice roster. I'm with you. I'm not really sure why, you know, when one area is going well, other areas struggle. They haven't been able to sync everything up. And, you know, they've had some nice seasons. They haven't been able to get over that hump, I guess. But I don't think they're gonna start shipping guys out the way that a lot of people are thinking they're going to.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of guys that are that aren't in their walk year. They do have a handful. Kiermaier, Justin Turner obviously would be a really interesting name. Kikuchi, who's been great. Yimi Garcia, who is a little banged up and has been, I think he's been one of the only decent arms in that bullpen. And then Jansen. So those are the guys I think that are the big name free agent. You know what I'm going to do today? I wore my Cardinals hat to give them a little good mojo. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Okay. They need it. Everyone needs a little good. There it is. That was fast.
There you go. Yeah. So I had it on standby. Why not? You never know when you're going to run into a fun Canadian.
Never know.
In case you want. So they moved Bichette down to six today in the order.
Yeah, he's been struggling.
He's been struggling. Vlad's like peripheral numbers have been really good, but the production hasn't been. I just feel like at some point, right, they're 16-20. Would it shock me if in 3 weeks, you know, they're at that point 27-22? Well, they're going to play way more games than that in 3 weeks. They're not a football team. They play more than once a week.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying? So the math's off, but the idea is right. Wouldn't shock me. They've got that much talent.
Yeah, they have a lot of talent on the roster, yes. That's why I just don't think they're ready to give up on this window. The only thing that they could be thinking is, hey, let's blow this whole thing up and get, like, real deal value for Vladdy, real deal value for Bichette. Now, obviously, you'd want to see their numbers a little bit better, but if they don't think they're signing either of those two guys, then maybe we're talking about a whole different situation here.
So let's say the next 3 weeks you play 18 games. You can go 13-5. There you go. Now my math's on board. All right, last thing. Trevor Plouffe has something to tell everybody.
In a second, because I got to get out of here. 1 second. Bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases full, down three, the crowd on their feet. The drama of baseball is real, and so is all the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook. From the first pitch to the final out, DraftKings has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. If you're new to DraftKings, you got to check this out, because new customers, you bet $5 to get 150 in bonus bets instantly. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code baseball today. New customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code baseball today, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Okay, we're back. Now, a really interesting story. Former Major League outfielder Monty Harrison, he's probably best known as being one of the players that was traded from Milwaukee to Miami in the Christian Yelich deal. He is done with baseball. He is not done with sports. 28-year-old is reportedly going to play football at the University of Arkansas. Pig C! Once again, I repeat that he is 28 years old. Would you have done that if baseball hadn't worked out for you?
Well, I wasn't a good football player, so no. And also, like, I had a family and stuff, so definitely not. But I'm not – I like this. I love this for this guy. I actually had a teammate that did just this. I played with him early on in his career. He was out of Pennsylvania, highly touted high school quarterback, second rounder for the Minnesota Twins. His name was David Shinsky. He's actually a pretty dang good pitcher. I don't really remember what happened to him. It wasn't working out from the low-level minor leagues. At 26 years old, he went and was the starting quarterback at Boston College. They called him Gramps. He started like 11 out of the 13 games they played or something like that. And I remember talking to him after that. I saw him after. And he's like, dude, I'm having the best time of my life. He's like, I'm not like I'm a freshman, but like I'm like confident in myself. Like I'm like, it's not like the weird – you know, like college didn't faze him at all. He played minor league baseball already. So like, he just went there and like loved every second of it. So I am all for this. I think this is very, very cool.
Did you ask him about the academic situation? Cause if he had been, if he was 26, it had been 8 years since he was ever in a classroom.
I'll say this about David Shinsky. I would never relate like academic excellence with David Shinsky. I love the guy. He would say the same thing. This guy, he was like, I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm a quarterback. That's what Pennsylvania does. And like,
yeah,
he was one of those guys. Awesome dude. But he told me, he's like, dude, I've never had more fun in my life.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Monty Harrison, if I remember correctly, I interviewed him a few times, but it was on remote. I don't think I ever stood next to him. He felt like a big dude. 28 years old is going to be interesting because you're going to be competing against 18 and 19 year olds. So you are a grown ass man. He was apparently a very, very good receiver in the state of Missouri when he came up. Michigan State, Mizzou, Indiana, Kansas, all among teams that recruited him a decade ago. So, I mean, he's a legit player. Obviously, really good athlete. We'll see.
What's his position?
He's a wide receiver.
Love that.
Yeah. We'll keep our eye on it. Could be fascinating. Don't forget to get your Factor question of the week in by Thursday night so we can use it on Friday's show. We are back at it again on Thursday. We'll come your way live at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Pacific for our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe, who has to run and go get a haircut. Don't have him take too much off the top. I am Chris Rose. We will see you Thursday on Baseball Today, presented to you by Factor.